Well, I trying to remember what we did.
Good. That's wonderful, sis.
I've never been to Derek Jarman's garden, but I've been wanting to go for years, decades even. We used to drink in the Phoenix Bar on Charing Cross Road, the bar below Derek's London flat, a theatre members bar, below the red neon sign, Blood Brothers. It was the 1990s. I've never been to Derek Jarman's garden on a road trip, on the Great West Road, belting out heroes in German. My friend Murray has been to Derek Jarman's garden last summer. Murray's Derek Jarman garden story goes like this. JL and I went to Dungeness yesterday. L is Ashkenazi Jewish, me, as you know, and J very dark-skinned. We spent hours there, so leisurely, so enchanting. We had the most magical time. Until we were stopped by the police, walking back to the car park, a local had spotted us walking along the shore and reported us as suspected illegal immigrants. The copper very explicitly said it was because J, British Bengali, had a yellow oil skin with her, brought in Folkestone. And ladies, we have so many landings here, here at Derek Jarman's garden. Derek Jarman's garden. 12th of March, 2020. I'm watching Derek Jarman's film The Garden at the BFI. I've just finished reading Modern Nature, Derek's diary from 1989 to 1990, acted out between the contrasting landscapes of Dungeness and London, writing that captures a constant journeying between two different worlds that Derek Jarman existed in during the last years of his life. Trying to operate in two different spaces at the same time, whilst keeping each separate and trying to stay alive. Both Derek Jarman's Modern Nature and Derek Jarman's The Garden are having a big effect on me, and soon lockdown will start. I love the scenes, the footage shot by running on the beach with Super 8 in Dungeness. Tilda Swindon is here and introduces the film up on stage. Tilda keeps kissing everyone, and I want to cut my hands together and shout out, "Tilda, stop! This isn't 1987, don't you know?" September, and I go to Scarborough and spend an afternoon in the Italian gardens dreaming dirty dreams of Caravaggio. When I wake up, the entire seaside town of Scarborough is roped up in red and white police hazard tape. You see, a few months back, the top two floors of the Grand Hotel were given over to refugees from Afghanistan, and an uneasy truce exists in the town. So the far right make a phone call, a hoax. "Listen, pal," they say, We can't have our Victorian pride and joy handed over to foreigners. If only Derek Jarman was alive today, he'd make things right. He'd take on the fascists, the far right. If only Derek Jarman's modern nature was here today. If only Derek Jarman's modern nature was alive today. I always feel sleazy in Hounslow. It must be the trousers. I never know when I'm talking to someone if my zip is up or down. Everyone gets off the bus and sits down on the pavement. Woolwich Road, a motorway, two lanes of traffic. Behind us, a garage. And so I got up and brought a can of Red Stripe and drank it on the pavement, watching the world go by. I hadn't done that since 1997, to be honest. And it did feel weirdly like sitting on the edge of a very English swimming pool. The water in the wrong place, and a lot of concrete.
Range to the right, range to the right, range to the right, range to the right, range to the right.
A man props up the barrier on Bolo Lane Junction. I look down and notice that his shoes have built up heels. He takes off his jacket, hooks it up on his index finger, tosses it over his shoulder. His white shirt is tucked deep inside his trousers, causing his stomach to fold over the side of his belt several times. He's checking his watch and leans up on his toes to see if he can see the approaching overground train. "Where is it?" he says. Now, although I'm outside and it is now 6 a.m, it does feel like once again I am back on duty, inside my glass box, lit up and on public display, the air conditioning turned to max. He turns to me, looks me up and down, in the eye, and mutters. Really, his movements, every single gesture, are so passive-aggressive. Strike again, eh? 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 Sir, put a sock in it, why don't you? I look on as this man pushes back his sleeve shirt and realise that as he does this, as he looks at his watch for the 50th time and pushes up the strap, I could quickly, ever so quickly, pick up a brick and lob it at his head. Really, I could. And then I could stand back and watch as he keels over, and then look on as he falls head first onto the barrier. His weight would of course break the barrier, and he's on the edge of the track, and the Willesden Junction train is on the approach as it's 06:03, and as the London Overground is owned by German State Railways, this train is never late, and no one else is here, and no one would see me chucking up the brick, lobbing it up, and I can stand perfectly still, like this, arms crossed, whistling, and not get involved, and do and say absolutely nothing. Yes, just stand around and do nothing. Acton Town, 5:15, Saturday evening, Sunday morning. Dead late, dead early. Acton Town, 5:15, a hen makes her way up a flight of concrete steps. A hen, alone, henless. The hen wears a pink neon hi-fi, unbuttoned, unfastened, open. The pink neon hi-fi falls off. She lands at the top of the steps and sways back and forth like a giant pale winter sunflower. Ah, sunflower, weary of time. Ah, sunflower. Ah, hen. The hen throws her bag on the floor, bends down, swoops, and starts to peck and scoop at the bits inside, digging up, pulling out items. Lipstick, cigarettes, mascara, coins, tissue, lip gloss, chewing gum, a roll of pink masking tape, face mask, an inhaler. In her left arm, a naked male sex doll, a mannequin, a doll, a 6-foot, all-smiling sex dummy, bright pink and white, with small black eyes and red lips, a cock. She looks at the dummy, her blow-up King Lear, and smiles. You looking at me, kid? You looking at me? She hauls each of her scattered items back into her bag. The lipstick, the masking tape, the lip gloss, the cigarettes, the inhaler, pushing all inside, pulls the strap of the bag over her shoulder and stands up. Falls back and sways forward, leans into the dummy. Staying upright, just her left arm grips the dummy, her finger grips it, squeeze and press into it, keeping her upright, just. And the hen squeezing so tight it feels like the dummy at any moment will pop. I watch the two of them navigating their way towards the exit, keeping each other up from falling down. Young foxes, West London cubs, baby foxes run up and down, going where they want, when they want, crossing yellow lines, crossing boundaries, falling off edges, over here and over there, circling the hen and her doll. On the prowl, calling out, culling, who's your pal? Putting lips together and whistling, wolf whistling, crying out into the winter night, hey sister, who's your pal? Where are your hens? Cat calling, old ugly long faces, leaning out, leering from passing cars, blasting horns, circling, testing, wanting to take a nibble, a bite, to drag and pull and dance away. I clap my hands and shoo off the foxes and approach the hen and stand with the hen and the sex dummy, and together we wait for her taxi. Each time a fox cub approaches, I wave my arms and legs, clap my hands and point. Shh, shh, go away. Shh, shh, go away. Leave us alone. Just leave me alone. I face the dummy and look at his two black eyes. I look for a spark of recognition and understanding, but brother, there's nothing there. No connection. I pat its arm and pinch its bicep and feels damp, a bit soft, deflated. After a few minutes of standing around together, the three of us waiting for the taxi, I ask the hen, would you like me to take him, have him, for you? I point to the big black recycling bin by the wall of the station. Or I can take him back there, into my office, for you. The hen's head snaps up and, leaning into the dummy, pulls back the two neck curtains from her eyes, looks at me and stares me out in the eye. A beep of a car horn, taxi's here, love, and tucking the doll under her left arm, I watch as they stagger off together in a slow cascading waltz like windmills, and look on as the two drive off together, side by side in the back seat of the taxi, packed in tight and upright on a winter night in red neon, two mates on a night out together, two pals, a hen and a sex doll, leaving me alone here and there.